All right, now in 2 Peter 2, chapter 2, verse 11, Barbara, why don't you take that on?
Well, we were just discussing about the angels. They're not going to be judging, but they're going to let the Lord God judge these people. And in verse 12, here we go into a detail of the animal nature of the unregenerate and those who are telling you that they know more than you do. Don't believe them. These are like unreasoning animals, born as creatures of instinct to be captured and killed, reviling where they have no knowledge, will in the destruction of those creatures also be destroyed. That means their goal in life is to destroy and make a mess and make a shamble of your life. And they're angry, they're hateful, they're selfish, and they have their own desires, their own horrible habits, and they want to destroy your life. Well, it's saying here they're going to be destroyed in their own schemes. They're going to be destroyed. Suffering wrong is the wages of doing wrong. They count it a pleasure to revel in the daytime. They are stains and blemishes, reveling in their deceptions. And the Greek here is love feasts. They love to throw parties for themselves. They love to go out and get drunk for themselves. They think only of themselves and getting somebody else in trouble with them. They are stains and blemishes, reveling in their love feasts as they carouse with you, having eyes full of adultery that never cease from sin, enticing unstable souls, having a heart trained in greedy, accursed children. Forsaking the right way, they have gone astray, having followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he received a rebuke for his own transgression, for a dumb donkey, speaking with the voice of a man, restrained the madness of the prophet. These are springs without water and mists driven by a storm, for whom the black darkness has been reserved. For speaking out arrogant words of vanity, they entice by fleshly desires, by sensuality, those who barely escape from the ones who live in error, promising them freedom while they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved.
You know, you read that verse to me on the way to the studio today, and I just see that so clearly. You know, when we give into something, all of a sudden, we're enslaved to that thing.
Yes.
It takes us over. And I can just go up and down, you know, kind of a broad stroke of our culture today, and I see that. In fact, the other night, we went down. We were just hanging out, taking some time to just relax. So we go down to the 16th Street Mall. We ate out in Aurora, and then we decided to come downtown and have a cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
So we were sitting on the plaza there at 16th Street in Larimer, and here came a whole bunch of young people. And I was amazed at how a lot of these girls, down to, I would say, 11, 12, 13, 14, were dressed in a very risque manner. They had been led astray by some adults that didn't give them, you know, a standard, some kind of a moral compass.
That's right.
Or they just let them kind of find their own way. And I thought, what in the world is going to happen to these girls? They want attention. They want somebody to notice them, somebody to flirt with them, somebody to come close to them, but they have no idea what they're enticing here.
Mm.
And they're going to be overcome and enslaved,
yes,
by sexual perversion,
so
by the
sad
way they're dressing.
So sad.
And that's coming. And I'll tell you, when it says here, for if they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in these things and are overcome, and the last state has become worse for them than the first.
That's right.
I also talked to you about, I have a number of acquaintances that at one time I was fairly close to, but they've made a decision to go with the world. They've fallen back and they said, you know, Darren, and I mean, they haven't said this to me, but what they're really saying is, it's just too hard.
Mm-hmm.
The flesh is just too strong. Every place I turn, there's perversion and defilement. I've decided to throw in with them, and I'm not going to try, and I'm not just going to be tormented anymore. I'm going to go with the flow.
Yes, there's a religion, Darren, that's sweeping the country, and it sounds so legitimate. It says, once you're saved, you're always saved. Once you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're always born again. That will never change. You're going to heaven. And I see here in this chapter, in this verse, that they are again entangled them and are overcome. The last state has become worse than the first. they have known the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then they again, like your acquaintances, they said, it's too hard, I can't do this. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. Now these are people that knew the way of righteousness, they received Jesus Christ, than having known it to turn away from the holy commandment delivered to them. And in Ezekiel 33:18, it says, when the righteous turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, then he shall die for it. Darren, I see too many scriptures that say, and no one is perfect. And 1 John says that we sin every day. We commit sins. So we need to go to the Lord Jesus, confess our sin, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Well, what I see is that, you know, the end of that is real destruction, and the people aren't happy, and they know that, but they keep pushing away precious Holy Spirit who is trying to bring them conviction. And it says here, this has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit. Mm. A sow after washing returns to wallowing in the mire. And I've seen both of these examples. I've seen the dog that returned to his vomit, and I've seen the sow that went right back in the mud hole and wallowed around. Now, the destruction of that type of behavior is going to be horrendous.
It really is.
Because there was a time when you knew the truth and you accepted the truth and you were trying to be conformed to the truth, but at some point the voice of the flesh was too strong for you. And you tried to do it on your own. You gave in and you fell back in the pit.
That's right.
And we're saying, if that's you today, why don't you repent and just throw yourself totally on God and let him receive you back, which he will. Now, what we're talking about here is we have people that call and say, you know, my husband's running around on me. He's a womanizer, or my wife's running around or whatever. But they're born again. I know they're Christian, but they're out there committing adultery and thievery and all kinds of stuff. Wait a minute. As a Christian, you can't do those things.
No, you can't.
You've rejected Jesus to jump back in the pit.
I agree, Darren. I really do. And this, a dog returns to his own vomit. That's Proverbs 26:11. And as we see, as we read it in Proverbs 26:11, like a dog that returns to its vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? That means a man who's making his own decisions. He's not going to the Lord. He's not going to Jesus for direction, to Holy Spirit for guidance. He is making his own foolish decisions. There is more hope for a fool than for this man. And Darren, that's very serious. And when you get to this state, it is a dangerous position to be in.
I would sum it up this way. If God can't make you get saved, he can't make you stay saved. Mm. And if you choose to go out there and dance with the world, you're making the wrong decision. I believe you're walking away from that precious salvation that you had at one time by an act of your will.
Well,
you've made a bad choice.
You really have, and you really have fallen away. And you need to come to Jesus Christ and repent. That means turn around, change those horrible habits that you're into and that pride that you are in the middle of.
Okay, I want to read this, the first part of 2 Peter 3.
Mm,
this is God. Now, beloved, the second letter I'm writing to you, in which I'm stirring you up, sincere in mind by way of reminder, that you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and commandments of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. Know this, first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. Mm-hmm. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God the heavens existed long ago, the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water.
What they're saying here, Darren, is that some people are actually saying, he's not coming back. We have heaven right here. This is our heaven on earth. I've heard people say that. And Jesus isn't coming back. And why are you talking about being watchful for his coming? He's not coming. And that's how people are going to mock in the last days.
See, I've had people say, now, you know, they've tried to, in fact, a man drove a long ways one time, came to one of my meetings, and I'd known him from Colorado, and we're clear down in Oklahoma. And he said, let's go out and have a drink. He said, you don't really practice this straight stuff all the time, do you? And what he was trying to do is get me to compromise, because he had compromised. And he put me in a very uncomfortable situation. I turned him down, of course, but I said, no, hey, I'm not there. You know, I'm with the Lord. I'm staying with the Lord. Now, there are people that will come around to say, you don't really believe all this stuff, do you? I mean, you're not as straight as you're trying to pretend you are.
Yes.
And they're trying to pull you down and get you to compromise and live the way they're living.
They that do. Yeah, the more the merrier. In verse 7 it says, but the present heavens and earth by his word are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Now, Darren, I've heard this said that God loves everybody. God just loves everybody. He's a loving God and he loves everybody. Well, I would like to say something maybe in contradiction to that, that God doesn't love everybody. And ungodly men, and in Romans 1, we see the scriptures about the homosexual man who is enticed by his own lust, and he burns within himself for another man, his own gender. And the same with the women. The women have turned from the heterosexual love to the love of a lesbian. Now, these people are going to be destroyed in their sins. And it is the judgment and destruction are going to be for ungodly men. Not just the earth burning with fire, but, Darren, it says ungodly men burning in this fire.
Wait a minute. You said something about the love of a homosexual lover or something. I think you're using the wrong word there. I think they've got love and lust mixed up. And lust is something that can never be satisfied.
That's right.
And the more they entertain that, the more they want, and the more deeper pit they dig. And, you know, some of the most miserable people I've seen are the gays that have been in that lifestyle 10 or 15 years. Don't tell me they're happy. I don't care. Don't tell me they're happy. I'm looking at them, and I say, these people are really miserable, and they're lost. They're rejected by the straight community. And here they are out there, and they're very fearful that their homosexual partner or their significant other, whatever word they're using at that time, might reject them. They live in a lot of fear and a ton of bondage. And I feel so sorry for them, really, actually, because they've missed it.
Yes.
I saw a couple college girls the other day at an outdoor place where you go out and you buy coffee. It's kind of like a Starbucks thing. It wasn't a Starbucks. It was another outfit. And these two college girls were out there. One was sitting on the other one's lap. And then they were groping and fondling each other as they walked across the street. I thought, if these girls knew, and they went to the same college I went to in Greeley, University of Northern Colorado. I just thought, if these girls knew the bondage that they're getting into.
That's right. And the seriousness of the pit that they're, you know, that they're tumbling into. Darren, God is a God of mercy. And this is an age of grace. But one day, this is going to be a closed book.
That's right.
And these people that think that they've got eternity to be indulging themselves in all kinds of sin. And Peter is saying here, you know, one day is as 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is one day. It means that he is a God of grace, and he has permitted this time because he is a patient God, and he doesn't wish that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But Darren, there's going to be a day when the ungodly have ground their teeth at him and have gnashed their teeth at him, and they say, I don't want to serve you. There's going to be a day when they have their reward.
I see. I think you're talking about the hardness of heart there.
Boy.
And I remember when there was a story of a man that was in a 747 on a runway in the Canary Islands. And somehow the tower, somebody messed up, and two 747s came together on the runway. Mm-hmm. And this man said, all of a sudden we were in this horrible fire inside the plane. And he said, I saw people right across the aisle from me. Their flesh was on fire, and they were melting right before my eyes. He said, did they cry out to God? Mm-hmm. No, they cursed God.
Oh, that's
and amazing. I say, you know how, that's about as bad as it can get. And yet he had said scripture all of his life since he was a little boy. A hole came in the top of that aircraft, and God pulled him right up through that hole and saved his life. But there were people literally burning up all around him that were cursing God.
And that will happen.
And that will happen.
Yes, it will. And they will die, and they will go to hell. And did God love them? Yes, he created them. He loved them. But they turned from him. They became like animals, as Peter said, in their animal instincts. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Now, that's not for the believer. That's for the worldly person. That's for the ungodly, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, on account of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat? You know, if the only thing that it's going to make you turn back to Jesus is the fact that you're scared of the heat and that's going to come at the end of the world, that's a good excuse. I really believe if you're afraid of what's going to happen, I hope you're saved because of that fear. Because it says in verse 13, but according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Oh, praise God.
And it goes on to say, therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless. And regard the patience of our Lord to be salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and the unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures to their own destruction. Mm. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, lest being carried away by the error of unprincipled men you shall fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. It ends
praise
on a very
God.
Positive point.
It does, but it really warns the ungodly and
really
those
does.
That are playing around.
Now, what we're saying today is, folks, you can't compromise. You can't have one foot in one world, one foot in the other world. God wants all of you, and he will help you live that kind of life. He will. He will show you what he wants done. Well, I just praise God. Father, I thank you for this wonderful writing here of the Apostle Peter. And Lord, we've done our best to rightly divide the word of truth. We thank you for this today and forever. We cover this teaching with the blood of Jesus. Amen.